Fantasy World. This is Todd coming at you from Houston, Texas with Inside Fantasy Football. I am excited to get ready for the start of the 2018 season. We are prepping for week one here in the 101 community. And the podcast today is going to lead you down a path to victory. It has to start somewhere, and we're going to start with the issues in Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell, as of today, September 5th, has not reported to camp. So we have an issue with the James Conner, the backup in Pittsburgh, and what they're going to do as far as handling the Le'Veon Bell contract situation. It is a strange turn of events. Everybody in the community, everybody in the NFL, around the league, thought Le'Veon would report by today, Wednesday, September 5th. It did not happen. It is an understandable situation from both sides. You've got Le'Veon Bell worried about being used in his last year of his contract. Overused, I guess, would be the right word, as he was last year. I wouldn't say overused. He was just heavily used, which really helped a lot of people win some leagues last year. But in his situation, he feels like he should get Todd Gurley money. The Steelers want to give him the $14 million this year as a franchise tag. The two sides have two different views on it, and I kind of see both sides. The Steelers are saying, hey, this is the situation you agreed to contract-wise. This is where we're at. We knew what we were heading into. Le'Veon Bell is saying, hey, I am worried about you guys overusing me, and I want to come in later in the season to make sure I don't kill myself and blow a knee out and lose my big contract. In Bell's situation, the way running backs are treated in the NFL, he feels that this is his last big contract, the one that's going to take care of him and his family for generations. And I know, trust me, I'm in the same ballpark with a lot of people saying, hey, he already has enough money to take care of his family for generations. But we are not top of the line NFL running back athletes. Me and you could easily sit back in our chair with our beer bellies and you know, cut down Le'Veon Bell all we want. But at the end of the day, there is a market in the NFL. Top running backs get paid a certain way. He is definitely top one or two, maybe three at the most in the NFL. He is a top-end generational talent. I understand that in NFL terms, running back-wise, he's getting up there in years. But this situation calls for some serious, you have to really look at it deeper than a guy being greedy or an organization being greedy. It's a confusing gray area. I think he will report eventually. But for the time being, and the reason why I really bring this up today is to deal with the James Conner situation. If you are a James Conner owner, if you grabbed him at the end of the draft, or you grabbed him just in the draft at some point, maybe because you are a Le'Veon owner. If you're a Le'Veon owner, it's pretty simple. You just use Conner until you hope and keep your fingers crossed Le'Veon comes back sooner than later. But he could wait until week 8, week 10 if he chooses to. The Steelers could be angry enough at that point to just tell him to sit. And who knows what's going to happen with that. It's really an up-in-the-air situation. My advice is, if you're deep enough, if you're a James Conner owner, whether you have Bell or not, I would leverage Conner in a trade. I've done it in a few leagues already today. I'm waiting on some responses. The offers have been kind of ridiculous at times. People get freaked out when they feel like their number one player, not just RB1, but Le'Veon is being drafted as your first round bell cow, 20 to 25 points a week guy. And to lose him, people really get frantic and do some things outside the box. I suggest leverage Connor if you have him on your bench and you're not a Le'Veon Bell owner, and get something for him. You can get a really good steady running back. You could get a really good wide receiver, maybe even a wide receiver one for Connor at this point. People are losing it over this. Maybe wide receiver one's a little much, but a high-end wide receiver two. I've already heard one offer, Royce Freeman for Le'Veon Bell straight up. If you're not in a dynasty and you're playing for this year, the situation that Le'Veon Bell is in, Royce Freeman for Le'Veon Bell would be a steal in my eyes. I understand. I love Le'Veon Bell. I think he's a great athlete. He's a great football player. But in the situation for this year, if you're playing a redraft one time, not dynasty, not a keeper league, but this is just 1 year, you've got one shot at winning this championship this year. There's no keepers. It's just each year is its own entity. I would take Royce Freeman for Le'Veon Bell in a heartbeat. I don't trust this Pittsburgh Steelers situation. And if I were you, I would definitely, if you're a Bell owner, it's a hard situation because it depends on your roster. If you're deep enough, sit on him. If you're not deep and it really rips you up to lose Le'Veon Bell, you could leverage Le'Veon Bell for another RB1, especially in redraft leagues where you're not dealing with dynasty long-term. If you're dealing with long-term dynasty or keeper leagues, just sit on Bell. See what you can get for Connor. If not, this is why you draft running backs early. I pound on this when I do draft advice. I don't know where these people get. And it does happen. I have seen people win. I get that. The wide receivers at the beginning of drafts. Trust me, Julio Jones and Hopkins will win you a championship. I'm not saying that can't happen. But me personally, running backs thin out too early. You've got to make sure you get running back depth. I would try to get running back depth early on and often in any draft. And I always have. Because of situations like this, if they arise or a major injury happens, you're going to need that depth. And right now, right before the season starts, Le'Veon Bell owners are going to be testing their depth. And sometimes you got to make moves to do what you got to do to win that season. Like I said, long-term, dynasty, or keeper leagues, try to hold on to Bell the best that you can. Monitor the situation. Do what you can to get Connor, or rely on your depth until Bell figures out what he's going to do. I do think he's going to report it sometime. He could just show up week three and you have your bell cow for the rest of the year. The next item I want to get to is the 49ers situation at running back. I would approach this very carefully because I truly believe Alfred Morris is going to get you some points. I don't think he's going to be a league winner. He's not going to be the Alf Morris from the Redskins. He is a different player. He's a little bit older. He's smart. Now, he's going to play in that system. He's done it before with Shanahan. He knows the system. So I do think Alfred Morris is worth a pickup on the waiver wire. I'm sure waivers are, it's already happened as of Wednesday the 5th today. And he was definitely off the waiver wire and picked up before the waiver wire in some leagues. So he's already on most rosters. If you have Alfred Morris, he's definitely a flex option this week. I don't want to put him in RB2 territory yet. I got to see what they do because Matt Breida is a better receiver. He's a better athlete than Alfred Morris at this point. I think Breida is going to get his fair share of action in that backfield. I do think it's going to be a committee of some kind. I think this really ups the game for Jimmy G. I think Garoppolo and Marquise Goodwin and that 49ers receiving core, the passing offense there in San Francisco is going to have to really up its game. It can get creative. And I think Shanahan is the right coach for that situation. I don't know if the Niners are deep enough to take that hit. But McKinnon, he was still a wild card. There was no guarantee that McKinnon was going to be an RB1. A lot of people were already putting him in RB1 territory. High-end RB2 at some, it was more likely in most cases. I don't think so. I think McKinnon, there is no guarantee. He didn't light up the world in Minnesota. There's no guarantee that they just lost big time there I think they can recover. I think between Breida and Morris, they should be fine in San Francisco. I wouldn't worry too much if you're a Jimmy G owner. He's actually the next guy I want to talk about. We'll just kind of roll right into Jimmy G's situation. The running back situation, I think, isn't going to affect him too much because I think Shanahan will use the system properly around Jimmy G with the running backs. They'll still get Breida out in space on passing situations. They'll still pound the rock with Alfred Morris when they need to around the goal line. Morris will get you some pay dirt. The issue I have is week one, San Francisco is playing the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. And I know myself and every other fantasy podcast guy in the fantasy football universe, this whole preseason has been touting Jimmy Garoppolo with good reason. The issue is with this first week, with week one, this is what we're talking about today. Week one. This is not season long. We're done with this draft talk. We are talking about week one. It's nitty gritty time. If you drafted Garoppolo, week one, you really need to look at who your backup is or the waiver wire, because I am worried about Garoppolo going into Minnesota with McKinnon would have been tough enough. But now they're going to key on that backfield. Morris is not going to have much room. That defensive backfield in Minnesota is really going to buckle down on Jimmy G. They're going to keep it short. There's going to be a lot of short passing going on for Garoppolo. A lot of outlet passing. I think Kittle might see a little bump in this. I think Marquise Goodwin's going to be a good PPR receiver. Or just in general, he's going to be a good fantasy receiver every week, no matter who they're playing. Even with Minnesota, I think Goodwin, they'll run some shorter routes with him. He will get his hands on the rock and try to make things happen. If you can, I hate to say this because I have Garoppolo in a few leagues and I'm thinking about doing the same thing myself, but I'm here to give advice to people that I think will get you to where you can win weekly. And some decisions are hard. And Garoppolo week one, sitting Garoppolo is tough. But really think about who he's playing. That Minnesota Vikings defense is special. Outside of Jacksonville, they are the best defense in the league. And some people have them ahead of Jacksonville. I still think Jacksonville has a couple ticks on them. Jacksonville just has so much coverage defensively. But Minnesota, against that Niners weakened offense with losing McKinnon, they lose some options. They're going to have to change some things up. I think Jimmy G is going to really have to dig deep here to even make it a competitive game. I really think Minnesota is going to come out and just run them out of the building. And some cleanup, you might get some Garoppolo numbers. I wouldn't be totally against just rolling the dice with Garoppolo, but you really have to think about who he's playing when he's playing a top two or three defense. I usually just say roll with these top five type quarterbacks. Garoppolo has not proven to me yet that he's in that top five, no matter who they're playing category. And it's really going to be one of those down to what you really think of Jimmy G at this point. If you choose to roll the dice, I don't blame you. I love Jimmy G myself, so I'm not going to sit here and dog anybody that buckles down with Jimmy G and goes at it with Minnesota. The next situation I want to talk about is a Saints stack. Okay, we're going to start getting into some daily fantasy advice as well thrown into these podcasts. Daily fantasy is a big part of fantasy football now. I love seasonal leagues even more than I do DraftKings and FanDuel. But we also have to cover these daily situations because it's just such a big part of it now. The first thing I want to lead off with daily fantasy football advice is the only way you're going to win money in daily fantasy is if you put up a chunk of money up front. It's like gambling in Vegas. You have to have money to make money. So if you have the means, I know there's a lot of people that don't, and if you can do it on a low budget, good luck. It's tough. There's a lot of people playing in these daily fantasy apps. There's thousands and thousands of people. These tournaments, there's hundreds of thousands of people in some of these tournaments. If you want to sit back and play in these million-dollar tournaments, good luck. You're going against, you know, a couple hundred thousand people or whatever the crazy numbers are. It's like winning the lottery, no matter how good you are. But always remember, anytime you're playing in a tournament or you're playing for big money in daily fantasy on FanDuel or DraftKings, the difference between the guys that score a ton, everybody stacks and knows certain teams or players are going to do what they got to do that week to score a ton of points. So you're going to go with everybody else on that front as far as the three or four guys in that lineup, budget-wise, that you put money up for that you know are going to score. You're in line with the other 100,000 people in that situation as far as top-end players. Where you win in daily fantasy is players that nobody else is thinking is going to put up some points that week. You have to have sleepers in every lineup that wins. Now, I wouldn't say every, but most lineups that win big money have sleeper players. So you have to dig deep and find players that you think are going to have big days that nobody else is looking at. And that is not easy. That's where you got to come to podcasts like mine or any of the bigger guys. I'm not out here to hog up listeners. I'm here to give good advice. If you want in, go for it. If you don't, that's fine. But I will give you the advice on what you got to do to win in daily fantasy. That will happen. So it's up to you who you want to listen to. But find who you need to listen to or listen to yourself if that's what works. But I'm telling you, the difference in fantasy football is those few guys that you get on the bottom end that cost, you know, $3,000 or whatever it costs on whatever app you're playing in. Those low-end guys are the ones that win it for you. So let me start off with a quarterback I think is going to do well in fantasy, in daily fantasy this week, that is going to be very affordable and is going to do well against the defense he's playing against and might win you some money this week. That quarterback is Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is playing against the Colts defense that is horrific. I mean, they don't have anybody in the backfield. Vontae Davis is their best defensive back, and he's getting torched. They really have been focused on Andrew Luck. They're really a mess on both sides of the ball, to be totally honest with you. They have no defensive line. They're trying to rework their offensive line. They got a quarterback coming back from a major injury. They have no running backs. Mack is out for the week. They have no clue what Wilkins is going to do. He's been a mess this offseason. Defensively, the Colts are a disaster. Andy Dalton is going to have a big day. I think Mixon, Dalton, Green are going to have a big day. I think the Bengals are going to steamroll the Colts. That's a little bit of a bold prediction, I would say, in Indianapolis. But I just have a feeling that the Colts are that bad. I think they might be a 3 or 4 win team. I really do. And that's hard to say with Andrew Luck, because you know he's going to win a couple on his own. But I truly believe Andrew Luck cannot make up for everything the Colts have lost on defense and around him on offense. Andy Dalton in DraftKings, FanDuel, go for it. That way you can load up at receiver and running back. He's going to be cheap. Don't sleep on him. Put a star by him. At least give it a look-see when you're doing your lineups on DraftKings, FanDuel. See what he can help you stack up in other areas. I wouldn't even mind a little mini Andy Dalton, AJ Green stack in week one. That is not a bad deal. Andy Dalton, Joe Mixon stack, not a bad deal. Think about it. I know it's the Bengals. They're not appealing to a lot of people. Don't worry about that. Daily fantasy football is a different beast than seasonal fantasy football. They are two totally different things. You're dealing with a set. You can play anybody in daily. It's all about your budget. So each week you want to find matchups. It's all about matchups and sleepers. The few guys, like I said, on the back end that are really cheap that have big days, you got to find those guys to win. And that's very hit or miss. Most weeks you won't. But you might stack that one stack right one week and you get the back end sleeper guys. Every time I have won big money on DraftKings and FanDuel, I have had a good stack, similar to the Bengals stack I was just talking to you about, and a decent back end, sleeper, bottom of the barrel cost guys. And I'm going to list a few for you here week one that I think might get you some play as far as being cheap so you can load up with your stars and being on the back end of these daily fantasy rosters that will score for you and get you up in those high hundreds. Get to that 200 mark, as I always say, in PPR on these daily. That's your goal. And it's a ridiculous goal, and very few score that high. But I go into these daily fantasy weekly tournaments, whatever I'm playing in, cash games, I go into these looking for a nice, decent stack and a couple sleepers. And if you hit it, if you hit the jackpot and you get it right, you can get up in that 180, 190 range in these PPR settings that the daily fantasy communities use. And those will win you some money. You get up in those, I always just think of it in numbers. There's too many people to worry about in daily. You got to focus on your squad. And can you get to that 170, 180 threshold? Because from there on, you should be at the top end and close to winning some cash. Dallas Goedert, tight end in Philadelphia. They have a ton of injuries. This game is happening tomorrow night. It's the game that's kicking off the NFL season. I'm sure everybody's excited about it. This kid, if Ertz gets hurt, I know I'm going down the line. I'll circle back around. If Ertz gets hurt this season, which tight ends get hurt all the time because they go over the middle and get crushed by linebackers and safeties. So tight ends are constantly getting hit. You need to make sure that you have depth at tight end, or at least a decent, check your waiver wire, make sure you've got a backup there that you can go to in case your guy gets hurt weekly, because tight ends are constantly getting banged up. If Ertz gets hurt, Dallas Goedert is going to get some major play. He will be a tight end one without a doubt in my mind in that offense. That being said, I think Dallas Goedert has got some play this week in daily fantasy football. Not so much, too much of a risk in seasonal fantasy. I think you just, with Ertz there, even without Alshon and all the points I was about to make about the Eagles needing Dallas Goedert over the middle and are probably going to target him a good 10 to 12 times in this game, I believe. He's also a red zone threat, by the way, because Ertz, they are going to fixate on Ertz. They are going to double team when they can. They are going to shy Ertz's way. He's the best receiver on that team. Dallas Goedert is going to be single covered, and he has Ertz-type talent. He may not be Zach Ertz, but he is really close. If you watch this kid, really watch him tomorrow night, he's going to make some plays in Philly. And I think he could be a good play in daily fantasy. Don't sleep on Dallas Goedert at tight end. You could slide him into your flex, and I think you'd be fine. If not, play him at tight end cheap and load up on receivers and wide receivers and running backs, maybe a good quarterback, whatever your lineup entails. But I think going for Goedert cheap at tight end, it could pay off. I'm going to do it in a few leagues, by the way. By the way, on bankroll and daily fantasy, if you have the ability, if you're a guy out there that has the bankroll to put a little bit into this daily fantasy situation to try to make money by the end of the season, set aside $500. $500, invest it into FanDuel, DraftKings, however you choose. Play smart. Listen to guys like me and other advice guys that get you through the weeks. If you do that, you should turn that $500 into $700-$800 in your bankroll pretty quick. When you do that, you keep that $500 set aside, never touch it, and you play what you win after that. You may have to trickle down and then trickle back up a little bit, just like you do in Vegas. But it's one of those, you take that $500, it's an investment. And it's worked for me. This is an approach that has worked for me in the past. Take that $500, it can trickle up and get you into the thousands. You win a couple cash games, win a couple, you know, small tournaments. Whatever your choice is as far as how you want it. A lot of guys do the cheap games, they'll put 100 lineups in there. Yeah, 150. I have a buddy of mine, he does $500. Out of that $500, he did nothing but cheap games. With his $500, he's got 150 different lineups. I'm not exaggerating. So there's a lot of angles to make money. But like I said at the beginning of the podcast, and I want to reiterate, it takes money to make money in daily fantasy football. If you go in with just a few bucks, you throw a 20 in there and you play a couple of these big tournaments hoping to win $1 million or whatever, just kiss it goodbye. You're not going to, and if you do, you might win a few bucks. And if you're doing it just for fun, that's fine. If you want to win money, I'm telling you how to win money. It takes money to make money. Just remember that phrase when it comes to daily fantasy, because it is very true. All right, back to some guys that I think are going to be major sleepers coming up in the next few weeks, maybe even in week one. I'll start with a week one guy that I think is a good start. He's going to be affordable in daily fantasy. He's a guy in your seasonal that I think you could slide into a flex, maybe even a wide receiver too, because I think he's going to get that much production. Kenny Stills in Miami. I know he's not exciting. A lot of people sleep on him. In the drafts, a lot of people, I usually was that guy in the 12th, 13th round, just Kenny Stills is still there, I got to take him. Because there's no one else to throw to. DeVante Parker is trash. The guy, I hate to say that, he's not trash, but he just, I definitely don't want to go negative on any players. I wish all these guys the best. But DeVante Parker has not played up to his ability in the NFL. A lot of people had him doing a lot better than he has done. I think he's a decent deep threat, especially with Tannehill. But the guy that's going to get you heavy production, I think Tannehill's going to look to like he did Jarvis Landry, is Kenny Stills. And I think he's not a league winner, but I think he could be a piece in a league winner. I think Kenny Stills is a great flex piece to throw in, and he's going to score every week. If he stays healthy in that offense with not too many options outside of Kenyon Drake, Kenny Stills is a very strong, I hate to put sleeper on him, I don't know if he's a sleeper, but he's right there on the border with a sleeper tag. Very good player. He's been in the league a while. He's smart. I think he's going to be a great outlet like Jarvis Landry was for Tannehill in Miami. So Kenny Stills, put a star by it. Now I'm going to talk about a couple receivers that are not going to be week one guys. They're not going to be week one guys, but they're guys that you need to roster. If you haven't already, I know most drafts are done by now. I have one left tonight, my last draft. But if you didn't get these guys in the draft, you need to get them on the waiver wire, or work out some kind of cheap trade where you can throw them in on a trade. Maybe in this James Conner, Le'Veon Bell situation, you can throw in these two receivers here that I'm going to mention. The first one is Courtland Sutton. This kid is waiting to explode in Denver. You've got Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders in front of him. Both of those guys deserve to be in front of him. Don't get me wrong. But Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas get hurt regularly. Thomas is getting up in age. Even Sanders is kind of getting up in age. And you know that they're not going to get through 16 games totally healthy. They're going to run into some snags. And when one of them do run into a snag, Courtland Sutton is going to slide in, even though they're saying he's already the 1-2 in a 3 receiver set, and Sanders is sliding into the slot. And I think Keenum and the Broncos will run some 3 wide receiver sets quite a bit. So I think he's going to be on the field, and he seems to be a big touchdown target type receiver. Courtland Sutton, excuse me, Courtland Sutton is the future there in Denver as far as receivers. He will be the replacement for Demaryius Thomas when his end of his contract or whatever happens in these next few years with Thomas. He's getting up there in age, and Elway is real quick to move on from guys if they get slowed down by age or injury. And Sanders is kind of hit or miss. He's really good when he's healthy. The problem with Sanders is he's always banged up. Still a good play right now in fantasy. He's healthy right now. But when one of these two guys run into a snag this year, I think Courtland Sutton will be a great replacement. He will score some points the way that offense is going to be set up with Keenum and Royce Freeman. Nothing but positive things have been coming out of camp about this Broncos offense. Keenum is finally reaching his potential. Royce Freeman looks like the future. in the NFL and in Denver. I think he's going to be a great running back. Very Kareem Hunty. You know, he reminds me of Kareem Hunt last year. The way he's strong and fast, and just I think he's going to get the ton, you know, the rock a ton like Kareem Hunt did. So Courtland Sutton, get him on the back of your rosters and sit on him, especially in Dynasty. He needs to be drafted. I drafted him in the second round in my Dynasty drafts. First, if you can. The only reason why I didn't take him first in both of those, I took Calvin Ridley before Courtland Sutton in those drafts. And that's the other receiver I want to talk about in the same vein as Courtland Sutton. Calvin Ridley, and I know he's on a lot of people's radar. He was a high-end receiver in college at Alabama. A lot of people know of him. He was drafted high. He's got Mohamed Sanu and, of course, the great Julio Jones in front of him. Just like Courtland Sutton, if something happens to Julio Jones, who gets banged up, he's a number one receiver, he's going to be keyed on, and when the defenses can put a good hit on Julio, they will. And Mohamed Sanu, who I think, Calvin really is just a better receiver than Mohamed Sanu. I'd be shocked if he didn't just straight up beat him out at some point in the season. When he gets that opportunity, and I'm curious to see how he plays in Philly tomorrow night, how much time he gets on the field, I think Calvin Ridley has a chance to be a difference maker. I don't know about this season. Rookie wide receivers are really tough to lean on in the first season. A situation has to arise for that to happen. But he's not a bad guy to put on your bench and stash and wait and see what happens in those first few weeks with Julio and Sanu. Somebody blows out a knee or a hammy or something of those two guys, the sky's the limit for Ridley. He's going to jump right into a juggernaut offense because the Falcons, I have win in the NFC. I really think they have enough talent to beat out Philly, Minnesota, that top in LA Rams, the top in NFC teams. I really feel like the Atlanta Falcons, from top to bottom, are loaded and are going to do things. And if one of those top two receivers get hurt, Calvin Ridley is going to be in that mix. I honestly think he's going to be in the mix either way. So Calvin Ridley, yes, I know he's on everybody's benches that have him. If he is, don't let him go. Don't put him on that waiver wire. The only way I'd say to get rid of him is if you get a good deal where you can throw him in trade-wise. Never do I talk against trades. If you get a good enough trade, anybody's available at any time if you get a good enough sweetheart deal. So I won't say he's untradeable. But if you can, if you have Ridley right now, hold on to Calvin Ridley. He is going to pay off for you, especially in Dynasty or Keeper Leagues. I don't know if he's keeper-worthy this first year, but he's definitely on the radar depending on how many keepers you keep. You know, if you're above four, if you keep six or eight, we call those mini dynasties. If you do, or if you have a few of those leagues, Ridley definitely needs to be on the back end of that radar. Okay, guys, this is our first podcast leading into week one. We are going to do another podcast in the next day or two after the Falcons-Eagles game. We're going to review it. It's a strange week, because we're dealing with rosters that are as far as information, we're only dealing with the preseason. We've got no information to look in past weeks like we do going into the season fantasy-wise. So this first week is a little blind. So get your starters in your lineups. Sit on them this first week. Make sure you listen to what we've said as far as players to play. In the next few days, we're going to go over who to start, matchup situations. We're going to go over what you've got to do to construct your lineup that you've drafted. But once you get that lineup set Saturday or going Sunday morning, a lot of people like to have fun Sunday leading up to that first big day. Remember, tomorrow night we do have the Eagles and Falcons. So if you have any Eagles and Falcons that you want to start, don't forget that tomorrow, and by the time this podcast hits, it'll be tonight probably, make sure you've got them in your lineup. Make sure they are who you want to start. I'm not big on too many Eagles outside of Zach Ertz. I mentioned Goddard earlier in Daily Fantasy if you want to go that route. I am not a Thursday night football fan. So a lot, unless it's two teams that are just juggernauts and got a ton of fantasy relevance, I try to shy away as much as I can from those games, because you get some strange turn of events in those games. Since this one is a kickoff to the season, I don't think it's a regular Thursday game. There's been no pass, you know, the regular season starts tomorrow night. So these guys are fresh going in. But going into the season, outside of somebody that's just your number one at the position, you have to start that guy. Of course, I'm not talking about those guys. But any fringe guys that are playing on Thursday nights after tomorrow night's Thursday night game, into the season, you really got to think twice about it, because a lot of these guys are tired. These coaches are going to play some of their third string guys because they know that their guys are beat up from the week before. The approach a lot of times is different. And to be totally honest with you, a lot of times the gameplay on Thursday night is a bit sloppy. Like I said, tomorrow night is going to be different. It's kicking off the season. You got the world champion Eagles facing who I think might take the NFC this year, and the Falcons. It is a great matchup. Everybody's going to be healthy. So if you have any birds, Falcons or Eagles, that you think you're going to start, make sure you get them in that lineup. Make sure you're aware of what's going on. Don't fall asleep at the wheel and have a guy on the bench that you wanted to start on the Falcons or Eagles in that first Thursday night game. These next couple podcasts we do before Sunday, we are going to be prepping for the big day on Sunday with a huge lineup. We also have a pretty big lineup on Monday night. We might try to sneak another podcast in before Monday night. But if not, we are going to do, as our website says, schedule-wise, Tuesdays will be our review of Monday night. We'll always do a quick review of Monday night and get ready for the waiver wire for the following week. In that same podcast, we will go over all the events fantasy-wise that happened on Sunday, and it should be a fun podcast. This is where it really gets fun, guys. Once the season kicks off, we are into a week-to-week mode, and I will be glad to help you guys win some money or just win the week in your seasonal and work your way towards winning that league and bragging rights. You can email me at toddsfantasypicks@gmail.com, or you can visit our website that's usually linked through any of these podcast outlets. But just in case you don't have a link, it is insidefantasy.simdiff.com. insidefantasy.simdiff.com. That's a website we are going to list rankings weekly. Any questions there, you can go to the contact section and you can chat with me, or you can email me at the toddsfantasypicks@gmail.com. Whatever you like. I really appreciate the back and forth I've been having on emails and the chats through the website. I know a lot of you guys are from the Fantasy Life app that I've been contacting back and forth for a few years already. And I do appreciate it. And anything I can do to help, guys, get in touch with me. That's what I'm here for at the 101. And that's what we're going to do this season at Inside Fantasy Football. Good luck, everybody. And I will get back at you in a couple days. I'm out. We'll be right back.